And greetings to each one of you in Jesus' worthy, precious name again this evening. Thank you, Brother Marlon, for those words. It goes along with what I wanted to speak about this evening. Shall we sing the first verse of our theme song? It's 851 in your books. I thought I had a copy with me. I think I know it by heart anyway. I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I trust that we continue to enjoy and be blessed by that old story. The story of Jesus giving his life for us. Ask an interest in your prayers for the message this evening. For the message text, taken from John chapter 12. I'm going to turn there, just a few verses. In the city, in old days, there was a shopkeeper. And his business was to dye wool, cloth. And above his door, he had this written, I die to live. I live to die. The more I live, the more I die. In other words, he had this business of dyeing cloth. It's what made his living. He could afford to buy food, pay his rent, and that. And so every day, he dyed cloth. And he lived to do that. He must have enjoyed it, obviously, from what he had written. Let me suggest to you as a Christian, we're going to change a couple letters here. I think as a Christian, I'm going to add a line to that. Do we understand that? Do we experience that? That I die to live. I live to die. The more I live, the more I die. But the more I die, the more I live. The Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 13:31 says, I die daily. So it's a daily experience. The more I live, every day that I live, I must die. As a Christian. And of course, the more I'm willing to die to self, the more I will live unto Christ. And so, we're like that old shopkeeper. We have a purpose in life. In our Christian life, we have a purpose. But in order to fulfill that purpose, we must be willing to die to self. Our key verse tonight will not be from our text, from Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the faith, live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is Christ living within us. He gives us a power to live, and he gives us a power to die. In our text, St. John chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There's a principle here that all of God's children must apply themselves to. We cannot live unless we die. We just can't. As a Christian, we cannot live unless we die. Jesus said here that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, or it never becomes more. You farmers, gardeners, you all know that as you place the seed in the ground, and as the rain from God, and I don't know, understand all of that, but there's a process there. That seed you place in the ground, it dies, it rots. But out of that springs a plant. And so the seed must die to be able to produce. As a human being, I must die to self. I can never be fruitful for the kingdom of God unless I die, unless self is taken out of the way. Self dies. Some of you probably know this already, but I grew up in western Oklahoma, quite a bit more dry, arid than what it is here in Virginia or Ohio for sure. We mostly raised wheat because most of our rains would come during the fall, winter, and spring. It was hard to raise summer crops, so we raised winter wheat. I remember one summer, it was a fairly even above normal dry summer, but we did get some rain in the fall about the time we usually planted our wheat. Not a lot, but we got some rain, and so Dad decided that he thinks we have enough moisture, we'll plant our wheat. So we planted our wheat, but the fall rains didn't continue coming. We just had that one rain, and that was it. And I remember vividly one day after we had planted it, several weeks after we had planted the wheat, some of the wheat came up. It was very short, but it had come up. But most of it didn't. I remember a father down on his knees digging along the row. And here I remember seeing those wheat seeds that we'd put in the ground. They were still there exactly like we put them several weeks before. And it went quite some time, I think it was like 4 weeks, about a month later, we finally got another rain. And it wasn't but about 5 days. All those other wheat kernels that hadn't sprouted, they sprouted and they came up. By the next spring, you couldn't tell the difference. But there for a little while, some wheat was this tall, some wheat was this tall. Those kernels of wheat, when they got the moisture and everything was right, they died and the new life sprang up. So Jesus said, you know, we can be put into the ground as a kernel of wheat, but unless our heart is conditioned right, we're open to God's work in our life, we're willing to die to self and all that, we'll just lay there. We will never produce. Just like the parable that Jesus gave of the sower. Remember the different kinds of seed. The one kind of seed never even sprouted. Why? Because it was on the roadway, the pathway. Some of it did sprout, but there was no root there. and all of that can happen as well. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive unless it die. I'm sure all of you have probably been digging potatoes in the fall or summer, whenever your potatoes are ready to dig. And sometimes, a lot of times, you will find the old potato, or at least part of it, there, which you planted in the spring. But it's definitely not something you would consider eating. It's mushy, it has died, but out came new life. In the example of the wheat, that one kernel died, and usually there was probably, on average, probably 3 heads that came from that one kernel, and anywhere from 30 to 60 kernels on each head. So it abides alone. It doesn't produce. But if it dies, it produces. And as Jesus said, it brings forth much fruit. Do you want to bring forth fruit for God? Do you want to be useful to God? If you do, you must die to self. Jesus said there in verse 25, he that loves his life is going to lose it. But the man that's willing to lose his life for Christ's sake, he keeps it unto life eternal. It's a paradox. How can you die and be living? And how can you die but get life eternal? Amplified, for the scripture says, whoever has no love for, no concern for, no regard for his life here on earth, but despises it, he preserves his life forever and ever. How much does your life mean to you? How much does your reputation mean to you? How much do your dreams and plans mean to you? Are you willing to let all those things die for Christ's sake? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. See, there's life out of death. There must be death, so there can be life. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Just as Jesus hung there on the cross and died, he gave his life, so you and I must, as he did, willingly die. And then we are buried with him into that death. And then as he was raised from the dead, even so we are raised to a newness of life. Not the life that we used to live, but a new life, a different life. We have different goals. We have different desires. Yes, we're still human. We're still in the old man, as it were. We still have the Adamic nature. But the power of the resurrection of Jesus is also in our life. If we've died with him, we've risen with him, that power is there to live above this sin, to live above these natural desires that are in our life, our heart. For we which live, or we that are alive, physically, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Because we must. We're always in the flesh here. As long as we're here, we must always then be delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest, or might render apparent in us, or show in our mortal flesh. Yes, it is possible for a man, human being, Adamic nature, it is possible for that person to portray Jesus, to make Jesus apparent to those around him. That's what we're called to do. But in order to do that, we must die. We must live to die and die to live. we die with Christ. And we mentioned this already. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Our old man must be crucified with him. We must, Jesus said, we must take up the cross. We must lay up ourselves upon the cross and be crucified with Christ. Now, the cross is not a popular subject, especially in our day. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that to the Greeks, it's foolishness, to the Jews, a stumbling block. But I wonder if we understand the cross today as we should. A.W. Tozer says that there's a new cross today that is being presented. All announced and mostly undetected, there has come into modern times a new cross into popular evangelical circles. It is like the old cross, but different. The likenesses are superficial, the differences fundamental. There's a new type of meeting, a new kind of preaching. The new evangelism employs the same language as the old, but its content is not the same, and its emphasis not as before. The new cross is not opposed to the human race. Rather, it is a friendly pal, and if understood aright, it is a source of oceans of good, clean fun and innocent enjoyment. It lets Adam live without interference. His life motivation is unchanged. He still lives for his own pleasure. Only now he takes delight in singing choruses and watching religious movies instead of singing bawdy songs and drinking hard liquor. The accent is still on enjoyment, though the fun is now on a higher plane morally, if not intellectually. You look around you, you can see that. The new cross encourages a new and entirely different evangelistic approach, showing that Christianity makes no unpleasant demands. Rather, it offers the same thing the world does, only on a higher level. Whatever the sin-mad world happens to be clamoring after at the moment is cleverly shown to be the very thing the gospel offers. Only the religious product is better. The new cross does not slay the sinner. It redirects him. It gears him into a cleaner and jollier way of living and saves his self-respect. That's the new cross that's being offered. That's why there's mega churches in some communities. Why? They don't preach the cross. They don't preach the old cross. The old cross is a symbol of death. It stands for the abrupt, violent end of a human being. The man in Roman times who took up his cross and started down the road had already said goodbye to his friends. He was not coming back. He was not going out to have his life redirected. He was going out to have it ended. The cross made no compromise. It modified nothing. It spared nothing. It slew all of the man, completely and for good. It did not try to keep on good terms with its victim. It struck cruel and hard, and when it had finished its work, the man was no more. The race of Adam is under death sentence. There is no commutation and no escape. God cannot approve any of the fruits of sin, however innocent they may appear or beautiful to the eyes of men. God salvages the individual by liquidating him and then raising him again to newness of life. That evangelism which draws friendly parallels between the ways of God and the ways of men is false to the Bible and cruel to the souls of its hearers. The faith of Christ does not parallel the world. It intersects it. It is coming to Christ we do not bring. In coming to Christ, we do not bring our old life up onto a higher plane. We leave it at the cross. The corn of wheat must fall into the ground and die. God offers life. but not improved old life. The life he offers is life out of death. It stands always on the far side of the cross. Whoever would possess it must pass under the rod. He must repudiate himself and concur in God's just sentence against him. What does this mean to the individual? The condemned man who would find life in Christ Jesus? How can this theology be translated into life? Simply, he must repent and believe. He must forsake his sins and then go on to forsake himself. Let him cover nothing, defend nothing, excuse nothing. Let him not seek to make terms with God, but let him bow his head before the stroke of God's stern displeasure and acknowledge himself worthy to die. Having done this, let him gaze with simple trust upon the risen Savior, and from him will come life and rebirth and cleansing and power that raised him. The cross that ended the earthly life of Jesus now puts an end to the sinner, and the power that raised Christ from the dead now raises him to a new life along with Christ. Let us preach the old cross. The Apostle Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world was crucified unto me, and I unto the world." It's two ways. When I die, I'm not affected by the world, and the world cannot get my attention because I'm dead. We'll use example at home. There's a casket laying here in front. That person that's in that casket, no matter what happens, you can't get his attention. He is dead to what's going on. Now, in a spiritual sense, that does break down, because spiritually, we have to die daily. We don't die once and then it's all over. But as far as the control or the advantage that the world can have on us, we're dead to that as a Christian. And so that's why we need to die, so that the world isn't able to get our attention away from God. It is a faithful saying, "For if ye be dead with him, we shall also live with him." You see what happens? People, I think, they just think about the fact that they must die. And they forget about the fact that they can live with Christ. Oh, aren't you willing to let yourself die so you live with Christ? The end result is out of this world. So much better to die now. You know, as a Christian, we are born twice, but we only die once. For the ungodly, he's only born once, but he dies twice. So what do we want? Want to be born twice and die once? Or do we want to just be born once and die twice? We must be dead to self, to sins, to the world. Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said to Jesus, "All of self and none of thee." Yet he found me. I beheld him bleeding on the accursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, "Some of self, some of thee." Day by day his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, "Less of self and more of thee." Higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered. None of self and all of thee. That's where we want to come to. That's where we want to be. None of self and all of Christ. 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." Go back to Isaiah 53. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. With the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." you and I, we take upon us, we go with Jesus to the cross. He brings us that new life that we can live into righteousness. We can be righteous, not on our own strength. The righteousness of God imparted to us, but it's because we're willing to die, to lay off the old man. Dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin, alive unto thee. Crucify all the earthly within me. Emptied of sin and self, may I be. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We don't. For dead to sin, we don't live in sin. I'm not saying we don't sometimes fall, but we immediately, as Brother Marlon said, we recognize we did wrong, we ask God to forgive us, we get up, we go again. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh, or the godless human nature is what we crucify. We crucify self, crucify the flesh, with the affections and lusts, the passions, the appetites, the desires. You see, God has created us as human beings. And he has created us with appetites, with desires. And those in their proper place, in their God-given way, is not wrong. But when they dictate, when they rule our life, our body, then they must be crucified. If a man would not have an appetite for food, he'd starve to death. Unless someone would force him to eat. But you know what I'm saying. But let that appetite for food, let self take over in that, a man can ruin himself, can ruin his health, can rule his, yes, ruin his health by not controlling that appetite for eating. And it's that way in a lot of things, the way God has created our bodies. Do we bring those things to the foot of the cross? Nail them there. Crucify them. They must be. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. Yes, God can sanctify our body. There are those who would teach that the body can never be sanctified. You just live your life. Yes, you're saved. Your spirit is saved. But the body can never be changed or can never be brought under. Yes, God expects his people in their spirit and in their soul as well as in their body to portray a Christ likeness. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body and spirit is to glorify God. And that can be done when self is crucified, when the flesh is crucified. How much does self mean to you? Dying to self, when you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart, or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. Brothers and sisters, that doesn't come natural for me. When you are lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, or any annoyance, when you could stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation, or to record your own good works, or itch after commendation, when you can truly live to love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met, and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God, while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself, and can humbly submit your inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. Are you dead yet? There is regeneration by the Word of God. We have died to self. The Word of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's the Word of God working in our hearts that brings us from death to life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth forever and ever. As a Christian, you and I will starve unless we take in the Word of God on a regular basis and make it a part of our life. Not only just read it, but apply it to our daily walk of life. It is by the Word of God, Holy Spirit as well, that changes us and makes us into the image that God wants us to be. If ye know, 1 John 2:29, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. It's that simple. If there's a man that's living like a Christian, and he truly is a Christian, it's because he has been born of God. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There are people around that we see that might live good moral life. They're good to their neighbors. They're good to their wife. And that. But when that man is truly born again from the heart, he is a man of God. You can know that. Rest assured in that. He's born of him. Jesus told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We've got to start at the right place. We must be born again. And then we go to the cross. We confess our sins. We repent. We repent, we confess our sins, and we die to self. And then God raises up new life in us. The psalmist says that the righteous man is like the tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Is that a picture of your life, of my life tonight? It can be if we die. We must die in order to be fruitful. And not only does God spring up that spiritual life within us today, but we experience eternal life as well in our hearts. And someday, in reality, with Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. What are you going after today? What do you want? What are you desiring to see and have in your life? Is it for those things that don't perish? Or is it for the perishables? Oh, I think we put too much emphasis on perishable things in our lives. What is first? John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they, and oh, this is a blessed promise, they shall never perish. You're born twice, you only die once. That's the body. They shall never perish. When the Lord gives you new life in Christ, in your heart, that eternal life has already started there. Romans 6:22-23. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. That's what I want. Brothers and sisters, that's what I want for each one here tonight as well. If you haven't, if you're not experiencing that death to self, start today. Start tonight. Because the wages of sin is death. The sinner will get paid. You know, we're so concerned about getting paid in our life. The sinner will get paid. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You and I, we can never earn eternal life. Even us dying to self does not earn eternal life. We only die to self because of the gift that God has given to us. In order to receive that gift, we must die. You see? But for the sinner, there is a payment that's coming, whether they want it or not. And no one wants it when they actually come to it. But it is, like the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you. We don't deserve it, but Jesus gives it to us. John, 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And so tonight again I ask the question, is your testimony like the Apostle Paul was? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You know, I'm alive today in this body. Yet not I. I trust it's not my body, not my flesh, not myself that's dictating my life. What I say, what I do, what I look at, what I listen to, where I go, how I appear to other people. But Christ living in me, within me. My desire is that people, when they look at me, the song, remember the song that goes, I can't think of the words so much, that when people look at me, do they see Jesus? Is that what they see? Do they automatically know there's something different about this person? And the life which I now live in the flesh, in other words, I'm still in my human body, I live by faith. Son of God, in what he's done for me on the cross. Provision he's made for me to live a holy life. Because, why did he do all this for me? Because he loved me and he gave himself for me. Tonight, is that your experience? Are you crucified with Christ? Has self been laid on the cross and nailed there? And when it arises, wants to arise, we continue nailing it there. Do you live to die? Do you die to live? We must. We'll never experience eternal life without death to self. It's just that simple. Shall we pray? Father, tonight, thank you again for thy word, for your faithfulness. Lord, we struggle many times in our lives in dying to self. Yet, Lord, we know that it is the only way that we can have your life, eternal life, new life in us. And so, Lord, we pray tonight, if there's anyone here that is not willing or has not died to self, that they would be willing to do so tonight. Just pray that your spirit might move among us, Lord, that you could glorify yourself. Help us to truly love the cross, because we know what it does for us in the end. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. May we continue to cherish it and to let it rule our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.